This episode, another Argos game, another Argos win. It's just what we do now. Saskatchewan's on deck for our bid for 16 wins. And we're going to take a trip to Kazakhstan. And Doug's got one question for everybody in the three-minute warning. Crack those cold ones. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. Our co-host Will is still doing some professional development. He may be doing that for a little while, so we'll get some guest hosts in there to fill in for him next week. But joining us today,
from the Double Blue Order, Sir Douglas of House Ballinger, second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
What can I say? Fortress BMO stands tall. You can find me on Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called nowadays at DougB519, also Threats too. You can find the Double Blue Order normally sitting in Section 116 at BMO Field, but you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just do a quick search, you'll find us there. And we do have a merchandise store available, so you can get yourself a nice t-shirt or something with our logo on it, or one of our other little neat little designs like Simone Sucks Eggs. You can find one of that on doubleblueorder.ca.
Well, Doug, we played our last home game of the season, our last home game of the regular season.
Yeah, it's season's not over yet.
but we played our last home game of the regular season at BMO Field, and wouldn't you know, we didn't lose at all this year, BMO.
I know. That right there in and of itself is amazing. It's been a long time since we can say that we are undefeated at BMO Field.
It's been a long time since we can say we've been undefeated at home, regardless of where our home was.
That is true.
So 8 home games at BMO Field, 1 home game technically in Halifax. We won that one as well. So if it was a home game, we won it this year. A perfect 9-0 with our home games. And the only blip on there that we can have a little bit of a problem with is we didn't score over 30 points in one game. And that was against Hamilton. We scored 29. Every other game was 30, 40.
I mean, I gotta do some quick math here. Hang on. But keep going.
The offense has been there at BMO Field. The defense has done its job all year. The Argos put out a really nice looking graphic about all the home wins this season. And it's just nice to see all the, like, 30s this, 40 that, 30 this, 40 that, 29,
30 this. We're averaging at home, we average 37.1 points a game.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
Why would you be? You shouldn't be mad at that.
No. Speaking of the home wins, we got one against Ottawa, 40-27.
As if there was really any doubt in that.
No, and I've got some things I'm going to say about some of their wins lately, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Stats first, Chad Kelly. 18 of 28, 287 yards and a touchdown. He probably would have had about 100 less yards or so. But I guess he pestered Dinwiddie enough to let him back in the game. Cameron Dukes went 5 for 5 for 23 yards. Running the ball, Daniel Adetoboye, 9 carries, 59 yards. Chad Kelly, 5 for 45. Deontay McMahon, 5 for 19 and a touchdown. And Cameron Dukes had two carries for 2 yards and a touchdown. Through the air, Davaris Daniels, 6 catches, 141 yards. And he's back on the touchdown scene. He scored a touchdown there. David Ungerer, 7 catches, 83 yards. Deontay McMahon, 3 for 33. Dejon Brissett, 2 for 29. Tommy Neal had 3 for 21. Daniel Adetoboye had 1 for 2. And Sindani had 1 for 1 yard. On the defensive side of the ball, holy crap, there's a lot of sacks to talk about. Robbie Smith had 2. Jonathan Jones had 1. Flo Ormolade had 1. Winton McManus had 1. Jared Brinkman had 1. Thomas Costigan had 1. Wait, I'm not done yet. Brandon Barlow had 1. Benoit Marion had 1. 9 sacks. It's been a... Wow. That's a lot of sacks. Even for Ottawa to give up.
That's a whole lot of sacks. I mean, I expect Montreal to give up that many sacks, not Ottawa.
Yeah. Yeah, and we did have one pick, a beautiful pick, too. Quantes Stigger stole that ball. And he also added 3 tackles. What else? Robbie Smith had 5. Mason Pierce had 5. Jonathan Jones, 4. Mechie had 3. Ormolade had 3. Winton McManus had 2. Tavarius McFadden, 2. Sean Oakman, 2. Adarius Pickett, 2. Jared Brinkman, 2. Thomas Costigan, 2. We shared it. Hendricks had 2. Priester, Knight, Harry, and Barlow, and Marion, and Jack Kassar all had 1 as well. And why not kicking? Boris Beattie, 6 for 6. With a long of 53 yards. It's the first one he's tried over 51 all year.
I'm beginning to think that whenever we get the video thing started, you're gonna have to get like you remember Romper Room back in the day? You gotta be like Miss Fran and just start going, and there's Robbie with a sack, and there's Jonathan Jones with a sack, and there's Flo Rimolati with a sack too. Don't I to see you, Winton McManus, you got a sack as well. I could see that happening. That's gotta happen.
That would be very all right. Next season when we get the video going, we'll have to do the Romper Room Looking Glass sack tally.
Yep.
Oh. Now, okay, now for some of these things, I'm going to have to get some sponsors. Because that would be a great sponsored segment, you know, the Romper Room Looking Glass sack tally brought to you by Purelator.
or if we can find like a little mom and pop restaurant somewhere, the one, you know, the type that do sack lunches, you know what I mean? So
yeah. Okay. I see you. I agree with that. All right.
Nom, 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 nom. Break out the heavy from Team Fortress too.
Yeah. Well, let's get right back into it since Will did do some homework for us and he gave us some good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good. The bad. The ugly.
Doug, where did you want to start with this?
That's a good question because, well, I want to start, I would love to, you know what, let's just start good, and I mean, the stats pretty much said it all, but that defense came to feed. Crumb the Conqueror was left wanting after those sacks, and even then he was forced from the game with an injury, and so they feasted on Ottawa's poor victim of a backup quarterback, or rather that's their second or third backup quarterback or something. I don't know. They've been through a fair bit this year. Poor bastards.
Yeah, Will also had 9 sacks on his list here. I'll pull up Will's one. The team never panicked, despite being behind at times.
Mm.
And honestly, it was one of those things that that at one point you were just like, okay, can they just not keep giving Ottawa points? Because it seemed like Ottawa was just going down and doing whatever they wanted in the first quarter or in the first half. And then they stopped. They stopped letting him have points. Now, here's what I wanted to get into on this one here. And, you know, you didn't panic all that, but it feels like the Argos were kind of, you know, toying with their food. You know, I guess it's not a challenge to put up a 50 burger or 70, whatever you want to do. Because I'm sure this offense is capable of doing that.
70 burger. You're thinking Miami there, son.
Look, I'm sure they could put up 70 if they wanted to.
Oh yeah, if they were really trying, I'm sure they could easily, put 70 on a team. But
there are times I think our second stringers can put up 70 on a lot of people. So, but my thing is, I almost think that it's. You know, said, okay, let's spot them 20 points today. And let's just, you know, see what we can do to make this comeback. Like it feels the last few games like they've been toying with their food.
I'm thinking they're trying to do it just to give themselves a challenge.
Yeah, that, or it's, you know, part of the game plan, you know, because these games don't mean anything. So maybe Dinwiddie's, you know, trying to get them situational play.
That's not a bad idea, actually, when you think about it.
Well, I mean, you got to do something when you're, you know, got 2 months left to play and none of them mean anything.
Yeah, you got to keep the boys motivated somehow. And that's a damn good way of doing it, of saying, hey, you know what, let's just hold defense. Just hold back and let's lull them into a false sense of security, and then we'll crush them.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the team. Dinwiddie goes to Corey Mace. Corey, wrong plays only.
Go very vanilla with your defensive coverage.
Oh, and yeah, and then Qantas Diggers. The kid's 21. We talked about it last week. We got to talk about it again. Like, he made a play that a veteran would make. Like, that's like an Ed Gainey type of play where he literally stole the ball from the guy. The guy is just... He's insane. He's. I don't know how nobody picked up on this before, but man,
you know, some say that the outline of his left nipple is exactly the same shape as Exhibition Stadium, and that if you give him a really, really, really important job to do, he'll just bugger off and go lawn bowling. All we know is that he's Qantas Stiggers.
Oh, And to think, I questioned the decision to put the unproven rookie out there.
He's very special, a very special talent.
Yeah,
the Argos are going to be very hard pressed to try and keep him up north long term. Because I know that there's going to be NFL teams sniffing.
Sniffing. There's going to be NFL teams drooling at that.
Mm.
You know, you've got a guy who's showing skill beyond his years and continuously learning. Like, about the only thing I've seen him do on more than once is have a mistake in the zone coverage responsibility. But even some of those, I've gone back and looked at some of those just because we've been talking about them lately, that I don't know if he necessarily made the wrong read. There were just two people in his zone and they found the right spot on some of them. So, but man, he seems like he's been a sponge and he's been soaking everything up. That was also on Will's list too. So,
yeah.
As far as bad, I'll go to Will's list here. We got the run defense could stand to shore up a bit. They could. I think there's just been some good blocking schemes. It's been a little. They've been giving up a little bit more yards running lately, but I'm not. It feels weird that I'm not too worried about it.
No.
I don't remember a time when I say something like that and I haven't been worried about my team's ability there. Even when I cheered for Saskatchewan, when you say, okay, the run defense, you're giving up a little bit of yards lately. You know, you may want to fix that. You know, you're giving up a little bit of yards lately. Yeah, I know you'll fix it.
It's actually kind of funny. I think it might have been part of the game plan.
Oh yeah, you're right. That's
it was all part of the master plan.
Yeah,
to lull them into that false sense of security. It's actually really funny because I know when the Ottawa player ran by the end zone, I'm like, Jim, laugh it up now. We'll see what you're like when it's zeros on the clock, bud.
Yep.
Sure enough. Zeros on the clock and Ottawa's taking the slow log home up the river.
All right. What was your bad?
For me, it was more of a bugly. So it was both bad and ugly.
All right.
That was the officiating. It's like, yeah. It seemed like they brought the very low level crew for this game. And I don't blame the CFL for doing it because realistically, hell, any game that doesn't have any real playoff implication, you can easily assign the shit crew to it. But there was some very obvious,
I
sound like Dave Meltzer here with me stammering like this. It just seemed like stuff that would have been called earlier this season didn't get called. And it also seems like the Ryan Dinwiddie challenge has become a meme in the command center. They just say, yeah, okay, we're not giving this to him. So they kind of just talk trash about him in the command center. Then eventually say, yeah, it's not good. Yeah, we're not going to let it go. Just say, call in the field stands.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been. You know what? It's like some of the calls that were Some of them were pretty cheap, and some of them were, you're finally calling it right. You haven't been calling it right all season, but now you're going to do that? There was one pass interference call that just ticked me right off. Because when you looked at the replay, the Argonaut hand was on him, maybe. It was following him all around, and I don't know if the receiver even knew that the hand was on him. He didn't impeach anything, nothing. It was like a hand check in basketball where you just kind of put your hand out just to make sure you know where the energy of that person is, and they called that. But what have I always said? You got to play better than the refs can call a shit game.
Mm-hmm.
And that they did.
Very much so.
So,
I mean, yeah, there was a lot of sus calls in the last game. A lot of sus calls. And they, well, let's put it this way. Once again, it might have been part of the master plan.
Yep. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, luckily the yardage wasn't all that bad considering, but it could have just been a lot worse.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see the penalties here. Yeah, we took
seven for 50 yards, so
that's it?
Apparently.
That feels like we took a lot more than that.
Yeah, I know. But keep in mind, there were two on the field that they called back. They're saying there was no infraction.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I couldn't find a whole lot of bad out there that hasn't already been said. So let's go to the ugly. Will's got a very succinct one here, but I'm going to leave that to the last. So, Doug, what was your ugly?
Well, it kind of went in there with the officiating. Like I said, mine was more of a bugly.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to go right to Will's because it sums it up perfectly. His ugly. One, Ottawa's O-line. Two, Ottawa's backup quarterback. Three, the Ottawa Redblacks.
As a whole. so it's like an onion of ugly.
Pretty much, yeah. One layer, that's going to make you cry. Next layer, yeah, you're still crying. You're still crying. Yeah, lots of ugly.
Yeah, the only thing they got to do is they got to throw it in a frying pan and caramelize it. If they do that, they'll actually have a good team.
Well, either that or you're just gonna have a pan full of ugly.
Yeah, if the onions are bad.
Well, you know, some of us are not the biggest onions.
Yeah, I know.
You hear that, Adam? You're not the only one.
I love onions.
onions are a flavor.
Yeah, I don't. I have to look up if there was an Iron Chef episode doing onions. I think there was, but I don't know what the hell they don't know what the hell they made.
Yeah, the onions are a flavoring. I will die on that hill. Oh, well, that was our 14th win of the season. Next, we're going out to Saskatchewan.
And I will be there.
You will be there, yes.
I will be experiencing Regina for the very first time.
Yeah. I don't, yeah. You'll have to, we'll have to make sure you get in with the Piffles guys, because they seem to have a pretty good gathering in somebody's front yard.
Yeah, it's not really a tailgate, but more of like just like a street party from what people have been describing to me. More like kind of street parties all over the place.
Yeah, I think it's just there's not a whole ton of parking there. So
yeah, from what I could tell, it doesn't look like there is.
No, because I the last time we went to a game out in Saskatchewan, we ended up parking about 3 or 4 blocks away in a Superstore parking lot.
Oh wow! So
you know it's just. All the parties are happening in the new stadium is a little bit pulled away from the houses, and it's more on the exhibition grounds there. But the old stadium, it was a lot like the way Hamilton Stadium is situated, right in smack dab in the middle of a residential area. So on one side you had the stadium, on another side you had a house.
Now imagine if you're a Bomber fan and you bought property there. it's my dream. If I ever get too much money, I will buy a house next to Tim Hortons Field and I will paint that sucker double blue. And I will charge for parking. It'll be free for Argo fans, but $100 an axle for Ticat fans. But that's beside the point. Yeah, I'm kind of looking at the satellite photo right now. It's actually kind of odd because on one side of the street you have like the way it used to be. So you had the bones or the flat land that Taylor Field used to be at. And it, yep. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's in the middle of a residential neighborhood. And then you go over to the other side of the street, and it's kind of like what Toronto is right now.
Yep, on the exhibition grounds.
Got a really nice stadium on an exhibition ground.
Yeah, and you can, from when I lived there, you can, I believe... If you went out to the street from my house, you could see that stadium.
Oh.
Because, I mean, you'd have to jump the fence to go over some train tracks, but my house literally would have been now 2 blocks from the new stadium.
Never would have stopped me. But then again, out near my house, the train tracks weren't fenced off.
Well, we used to, I mean, the
when
the,
I was growing up anyway.
Yeah. Well, when I was living there, it was still the old stadium. So we had to go up 2 blocks and over 1.5 and then through a parking lot.
Ah,
good tailgate in there, though.
Oh, okay.
Not much, but they did. And they used to have the Riders practice field right in the middle of that parking lot. And they used to have pregame parties there.
Yeah.
But everybody was, you know, partying in houses and stuff like that too along the way. Trust me, I saw them walking. So, but there's a game being played in Saskatchewan.
Well, it'd be the only reason why I'm going.
Yeah.
There'd be no other reason for me to go. There'd be no other legit reason for me to go out to Regina. Other than the fact that there's a game going on.
Yep. And we're playing a Riders team that
is fighting for their playoff lives.
And so far failing miserably at it.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like, here's the thing. I know the Argos are going to I hate to say it, the Argos are going to kill them. They're going to give them their seventh loss in a row. And the real shit part about that is, if Calgary wins, Calgary's in, and Saskatchewan's out.
Yeah.
Which means Calgary would make the playoffs again. For like, what, the 20th or 25th straight year or something like that?
Something like that. I believe I thought it was 21, but we're in the ballpark.
Yeah, it's like, I really don't. Well, it's like, I know there's an, yeah, because they have not missed the playoffs since 2005. So yeah, we're coming up there.
Yeah, we're 21 then.
Yeah. Since
2005. Really? No, because so we're 17 then.
Yeah. But either way, they've been a staple in the CFL playoffs for a generation, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, because it just seemed to be they've hit on quarterback after quarterback after quarterback after quarterback.
It's just like how the Montreal Canadiens end up getting like a super hot goalie.
Yeah.
It's like even the quote unquote bad ones really weren't all that bad.
No, they weren't.
But that's beside the point, because I mean, at that point, I think if Saskatchewan does not make the playoffs, I would definitely put them right up there for locale of the year candidate.
If they don't make the playoffs,
I know heads are going to be rolling.
That they're going to start, saying, okay, you know what? We need to go another direction here.
Yeah, they would have to.
Because it ain't working. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. He had a quarterback for, a game and a half?
Something like that, and then he got hurt.
And then he's been going with unproven backup after unproven backup.
Yeah.
And even those guys are getting hurt.
Yeah, and he's trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Yeah.
And it's clearly not working.
But the only positive you can see out of Saskatchewan right now is they found another receiver in Sean Bain, who's pretty close to a 1,000-yard season.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. I think it was 25 yards or something like that, shy of 1,000.
Wow.
So, but, this is the absolute definition of a trap game for the Argos.
But there's no such thing as a trap game if you believe Mike Hogan.
Yeah, I get where he's coming from on that, but and I think the mindset of this team is different. But if they let up, or kind of, I think they could they need to not shit the bed. And honestly, with this one, I'm thinking, I haven't seen who's been taking the reps in practice, but if it were me, this would be the game that Kelly is sitting, and I give it to Cameron Dukes, and I give him the full keys. So go out there and just kill him. And you don't take your foot off the brake, go.
Hmm.
But I haven't seen anybody noting as to who's been taking the reps in practice. So I don't know whether they're going with Kelly or Dukes, or is Brian Scott going to get some playing time in there as well?
Hmm.
So not sure about that, but This is a game that I think they... They need... It's a... I don't want them to lose this game. I really don't.
Now, you're saying the Argos not to lose, right?
Right.
Okay. I don't see them losing this game. Realistically. Let's be honest. They're just too strong. Right?
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I don't want to see them. I do not want them to lose this game either. I want them to go 16-2.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to continue this run of 1-0 every week.
Yep.
Because it's clearly working.
Yeah, 16. Yeah, I want that 16 wins.
And unfortunately, if that means Saskatchewan goes down in the shitter, I hate to say it, but so be it. Because let's face it, Calgary's test isn't like it's not assured either. Because their last two games, they've got BC this week, Winnipeg next week.
And
so if they only need one win out of those two, and I can tell you right now, neither one of those games is going to be easy.
And BC and Winnipeg still have first place to play for. So
exactly. So they're playing for playoff seeding. Calgary's playing to try and get in. To try and keep that streak alive. So I would hate to say it. Right now, I don't think it looks very. I do not. It doesn't look good for Saskatchewan, but I would say don't lose hope, because Calgary could very much shit the bed against against both of those teams very easily.
And they've been very capable of doing that this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if any of the friends of the show are listening out in Regina, make sure you show Doug a good time when he's out there.
If you put me in a, if you give me directions to go into a meth head's neighborhood, I will find you. and I mean that to the Regina peeps out listening to the show, if they have any sort of malice on their mind, if when the Argos ultimately put a 50 burger on them.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. Yeah. I don't know. Decades ago, if you said, "Don't point me to a meth head's neighborhood," and you're going near the game or near the stadium, I would have said, "Well, you just pick your house. This is
don't go to the game."
maybe. But I know a lot of that area's been cleaned up, so it's not nearly as bad as when I lived there. Although when I lived there, I didn't know the difference. So, all I know is that the people across the street tried to steal our truck three times and failed three times because it died on them.
That's funny.
We remember looking out the back and didn't see my dad's truck. And Dad, I think they stole your truck again. We looked out the front. Oh, no, it's right there.
It's right there. Battery. Looks like the battery's dead on it.
It was a Ford.
Okay, so that explains an awful lot then. Probably blew the fan belt the second they started it. Lucky the head gasket was still in one piece.
Oh, yeah. So, but I know it has been cleaned up a lot. So,
Okay.
I
mean, a new stadium would do that. So. Yeah.
Well, they were trying to clean that area up even before that. Mm. Just looking at the injury report, there are some good signs on there. Dejon Allen has been limited in practice. That's good from not practicing. Who else we got here? Where's the other one here? Yeah, Jordan Williams, who had a little bit of a calf strain, is back full practice now. Jamal Peters practicing full again. That's a good sign.
That's an excellent sign.
I mean, he did look like he was ready to go last week and the week before that. But, you know, maybe
Let's save him.
Now we'll get him in there. It looks like Harry, who was starting on the opposite side, Quantas Stiggers filled in for Peters, was limited in practice. Looks like he, according to this, he tweaked his Achilles. So they're probably going to be very gentle with that, because that's one of those things that you can be fine 1 minute and not the next.
Mm.
Or you can make some kind of miraculous recovery like Aaron Rodgers is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe the crystals and the darkness retreats help. Who knows?
Mm.
Or maybe it's just roids. Human growth hormone, stem cells, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Anything but a vaccine. should not have said that out loud, should have I?
Horse paste and prayers.
It's been a relatively quiet news week in the CFL, but Toronto season ticket holders got their first notice of renewals today.
And it looks like, well, I can tell you one thing about it. If we do end up getting a game, well, okay, first off, there's a nice little note from Chad Kelly that's with it. So I'll just go over with it, and it says, just in my case, I'm pretty sure they changed the name per account holder, but for me it says, "Dear Douglas, I hope this finds you in great spirits after a win this past weekend. This season has been an incredible journey, and I'm honored to be the quarterback of your Toronto Argos. As we strive for another Grey Cup championship, I wanted to take a moment and to personally reach out and express my gratitude for your unwavering support. Your energy and passion in the stands at BMO Field fuels our determination and inspires us to push beyond our limits. Your dedication to the Argos organization is a cornerstone of our success, and we truly appreciate the spirit you bring to every game." Give me a second, because I'm really biting my tongue on that one. But I continue. "I cannot express how excited I am to be your long-term quarterback and want to thank you for making the same commitment by renewing your membership in 2024. We are thrilled to have you on this journey with us and promise to do everything we can to make each game unforgettable. As we look forward to the rest of the season and beyond, know that your presence in the stands is our greatest motivation. Thank you once again for your unwavering support, and we cannot wait to celebrate another Grey Cup championship with you. Go Argos!" Signed, Chad Kelly.
So, and until you just mentioned that, I didn't even realize that was signed by Chad Kelly. I was like, oh, so my ticket rep is going to be here long term. Interesting that he's calling himself the quarterback, but okay, maybe the quarterback ticket. All right, whatever. I just kind of glanced over it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
So,
but yeah, ticket prices are going up a little bit.
But there's a good reason for it. It's because if there is a touchdown insert random non-football market game, if one of those is going to happen this year, the Argos will not be the home team.
No, because we're getting all 9 home games at BMO. It's
first time in a few years for that.
Yep.
And I can't be happier because that definitely means we are trending on the upswing. We are trending up now.
And the other thing that people should know about the East Final is selling well. They've opened the North End Zone. Some sections are completely sold out, legitimately sold out, and they're well on their way to opening up the second deck on the east side. So those are great signs for this.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and we've still got, 4 weeks to go?
Mm-hmm.
So that is incredible signs. Might as well say it now. Get your tickets today, because if you wait till closer to the game, if you wait to find out your opponent after the East semifinal, you might not get in.
Yeah,
there is a possibility that you're going to be. Well, I mean, there's no bad seat at BMO Field, but you're either going to be very, very high up, or you're not going to get in at all.
Yeah. It's been a long time for us to be able to say something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we should mention is, remember that ticket discount that we had from the CNE game and leading into the first couple games of the of September for the new school year? Well, they've extended that to us for the Eastern Final as well. So if you click on the link in our bio on pinned tweet that we'll have up there shortly, you can get up to 25% off your ticket for the East Final.
Wow, I didn't know that. And that's what, Argo's podcast, the code?
Yep. Argo podcast 23, I believe it was.
Ah, okay.
So, and we'll tweet that out and do everything we need with that, post it everywhere we can, and you can get some cheaper tickets through us. But they are going fast. We already know one of our friends, his section is sold out. So, and it does look like you can find a whole ton on Ticketmaster right now, because they're, you can almost not get 2 seats beside each other in a lot of the spots in the stadium now. So it should be loud.
Oh, it's going to. Oh, well, I know our fan base is. They're going to be bringing the heat to whomever's coming.
Yeah. Bring it on, Montreal or Hamilton. Either one. Going to stop a mud hole in and walk it dry.
Yep. Arrive, stunner, leave. That's pretty much what's going to happen.
Yep. Okay, fantasy. It's a quiet week. We've got 3 games on the schedule, so not a whole lot to choose from.
We only got 3 games on the schedule for next week too, so to close out the season.
So if you're pretty close to winning your thing, you're going to want to pay attention to some of these things. I would pepper your lineup with some Blue Bombers.
I would honestly go Bombers, Lions, and maybe Stamps.
And honestly, I would put Toronto's defense in there.
Oh, I did last week, and I got a good score last week when I did that.
Yeah. Because Saskatchewan's offensive line is only slightly better than Ottawa, so.
So it'll only be maybe a half dozen sacks.
Only half a dozen.
Hmm. But then again, Dolagala has a good pair of legs on him, so maybe four. Yeah,
he's also you know, one of the few people that can almost look Oakman in the eye. So you know, even him taking a couple strides is you know, take him two steps to walk 5 yards. So he's a big man.
Mm-hmm.
He can fall and get 5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But I still would take Toronto's defense, and that's about the only one I would lock in there. And I would honestly take a look at Polaris or Vernon Adams for your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever one's cheaper, that's the one I'm going with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then let's get to the picks here. So we have the first game. We start off on Friday. We've got Calgary at BC. BC is favored by 8.5. So I'm going to take BC, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say they don't cover. Because I think Calgary is going to be fighting tooth and nail.
Oh, yeah. Calgary's got two chances to make the playoffs here now, essentially.
Yep.
So, and they're going to be going to BC too, which is, well, they're also fighting, but BC is just got a, I think they're just got a better team, full stop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a reason why the records are effectively the inverse of each other.
Yep. So you're going BC, are you going, are they going to cover or are they going to?
I think it's going to be a close one. So I'll take BC, but not covering.
All right. And, well, I've misplaced the nickel of destiny. So he gets the quarter of chance today.
Quarter of chance spelt with a Q.
And he's got heads. Why are you picking Calgary, Will?
Ha 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 ha! Because he wants to be a troll.
Oh, jeez. Okay, Toronto at Saskatchewan.
Oh, that's going to be a clean sweep.
Line because they don't set the line until 5 minutes before the game because they're not sure who's playing. So we're just going the win on this. I'm going to go Toronto by 17.
I think they're
going to play with their food again.
Yeah, I think it's about right. I think Toronto by I think that's been like the average win this year. So yeah, Toronto by 17 seems about right.
And we're going to assume that Will's going to agree with us on that one, except he'll probably say Toronto by 18.
Oh no, I'll say Toronto by 100.
And then we've got Edmonton in Winnipeg. Winnipeg is favored by 11.5.
Winnipeg also playing for the Winnipeg still playing, and they, you know what?
Will's taking Winnipeg.
Yeah, of course. You know what? I know you said, I know you mentioned that the, that our game is the definition of a trap game. I think
this is a
this is a much bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take Edmonton.
All right.
And I'm not saying this to win brownie points for Turf District. I'm saying that because I honestly think Winnipeg is probably going to take them a bit too lightly. And they're Edmonton's going to just steal it, like we're going to run out of town like it was with the win, like it was like they stole it, which is probably exactly what's going to happen. They're probably going to end up like the like a smash and run, you know?
Yep. Well, I respect your position. I'm taking Winnipeg plus the 11.5. I think Winnipeg's going to cover that. Just don't think that I'm not on the same wavelength that they're going to fall into the trap game on this one. So we're there. Will and I are taking Winnipeg on this one, and you're taking Edmonton.
And just to be different,
just for chaos' sake, I'm cheering for Edmonton.
you're picking Winnipeg, but you're cheering for Edmonton.
You damn right I am.
Nice.
And if Edmonton happens to pull it out, I will be happy to be wrong.
That's actually oh my god, I just realized something. There is a possibility here still. Calgary loses the next two games, and Edmonton somehow beats Winnipeg. What does that mean for their tiebreaker?
Edmonton has been officially eliminated.
Oh, I know that, but I mean like with regards to the wooden spoon.
Well, this is Edmonton's last game.
Yeah, I know, but like, yeah. So basically, Edmonton goes. Let's just say Edmonton goes 5-13. Calgary goes 5-13 as well. I think Calgary holds a tiebreaker, no?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, that'd be funny if Edmonton hopped them.
That would be very funny.
I would have laughed my ass off. That would have been locale of the year if that happened.
You know what? Speaking of that, I'm going to throw a flag right now on the site that should not be named.
Illegal procedure. Defense. They made the offense moved. 5-yard penalty. First down repeated.
Christ. Oh, geez. What the hell did they do now?
And one of their pundits tweeted out that it was a tragedy that Edmonton is not making the playoffs and a team like Saskatchewan or Calgary is.
One of their pundits said this.
Yes.
Question is now, which pundit?
The bearded one. Mr. Hodge.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Words I can't say on the air anymore.
I need to draw his attention to Edmonton's first lot of games. And then
here's another thing. Who did Edmonton get their first win against?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The Hamilton with the capital L. That's the way I always spell it nowadays.
Yep.
Small H, big L.
Yeah, so I think that's self-explanatory. Everybody knows what Edmonton did to not deserve to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. They lost their first 9 games because Chris Jones was too pig-headed to throw Trey Ford in there.
Yeah. And then he was left without another, without a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, and apparently Trey Ford is not bad.
Yeah, who'd have thunk, eh?
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
All right. Well, since I'm going on a plane to Regina, let's make a quick trip to Almaty, Kazakhstan, shall we? Because he had some beauties this week. He had some beauties. Let's see. And a lot of them is going to go into what I'm going to say is what I'm going to say next after I finish this. But
my favorite one of his from the week is when he quoted the Corey Mace extension. And he just said, Bo just talked to his therapist.
Because it's probably true. Because we all know Jamal Peters is going to be looking for those balls. Because we all know that, you know, that Jamal Peters is the true owner of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Every Argonaut fan knows this. Okay, there was, well, looks like there was one that the Argos tweeted, so I'm not going to, but they deleted it, so I can't go with that. There's. Here's one. Back for the anniversary game, we had a special guest come to town. Elliot the Moose came to town, and he hung out with all of us, and he chugged beers with all of us. Well, not me, because I don't chug beers, but our friend. After we won that game, he was quoted. He said, "What an example of a man that this man is." He's a gentleman who can drink at least 20 beers and still recover from driving a pram for engineering school.
Oh, not bad.
I have no idea what that means, but it's funny.
Here's another one. He replied to Fake Gainer. He's still alive.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fake Gainer, tweeted, ain't sure WTF big deal is about a team going bowling or those that got issue about it. Bonding AF, every team does it or something like it. Keggers, fishing, golf, bowling. Good move to it. Basically, company retreat. And Anton piped in, this is the only time Saskatchewan can throw the ball without the Argos catching it.
It's true. I would not want to catch a thrown bowling ball.
No. But hey, when they start throwing footballs, yeah, we may catch a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah, throwing a bowling ball, it's like it's effectively like a cannonball. It'll take your leg clean off.
Pretty much, yeah. All right, what else we got, Doug?
I think I'll just segue into my next thing here. Because I don't know what the deal is. But This was in response to one of Steve Cody's tweets, where he basically called out a quote unquote CFL fan, called him an absolute cancer to the fan bases. He's truly an embarrassment. So I'm not even going to mention his name because it's not worth it. But our boy Anton said, "What happened to blank?" You cry like a child. You lack honor and manliness. You live in a city where people run away. Toronto doesn't know who you are. It makes you so angry. Followed by a crying baby gif. I'm beginning to wonder, especially over the last couple of weeks when all the good press is coming out for the Argos, where our attendance is up year on year 21%. Everything we had a successful 150th anniversary and all that jazz. I'm beginning to think that while Hamilton's fans' MO is usually just based off hating us, I'm beginning to think that the Argos are starting to live rent free in the heads of Winnipeg fans. Let's face it. Like, it seems that we slighted them by not playing Chad Kelly against their defense. So what?
And they took a lot of offense to that.
Now they're really friggin' salty. And the fact is, they barely won that game too without Chad in the lineup. They're very salty about that, and they've been trying. I don't know if they've been trying to fishhook Argo fans to goad them into an argument or whatever, but quite frankly, I'm beginning to think we're starting to move into your heads.
And look, honestly, you know, Winnipeg fans can, you know, some of them are decent, but Winnipeg fans, if you're listening, Chad Kelly or not Chad Kelly, we should have won that game. You didn't deserve that win.
Nope. And I mean, compound that with the fact that they've never beaten the Argos in a Grey Cup game. Never. It's never happened. And it's never going to happen. So that's like an awful, huffing an awful lot of copium lately.
Yeah.
Like Clay said, there are good Winnipeg fans out there. I'm not bashing them. They're good people. Those are the people that show up to Grey Cup and say, hey, how's it going? You know, we all have fun. But I'm talking about the shitheads that hide behind a keyboard who aren't willing to come to our faces and say shit. Let's face it. We've moved in. And let's face it, there wasn't a lot in your heads to begin with. So it was very easy to move our furniture right in there.
Yeah, cottage.
We're now renting out Hamilton's skulls. We now moved into yours.
Yeah. We can keep multiple homes.
That's the reason why we have a housing crisis in this country. Let's face it.
when we're not there, we'll just Airbnb it out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Although I'm not sure the locations are totally ideal.
Well, yeah, I mean.
You mean, you know, offer a Verbo home in Winnipeg or a Verbo home in Hamilton?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't sound very appealing, does it?
We're not looking to make some money. We're not looking to, you know, make a profit off of this.
No. We're trying to be good landlords here. We want people to have a home.
Oh,
we want other we want other fan bases to have a home in your heads. Have a home in your head. So that's why we're living there rent free. That's why we're not charging rent. And I still maintain it's going to be a Toronto BC Grey Cup. If you guys make it, we look forward to your challenge. But you're just going to be like all the rest of them. You're just going to be like it. This isn't going to be a 1-point squeaker this coming season, this coming Grey Cup. It ain't going to be a 1-point squeaker. We're going to be beating you by the on average. We're beating you by the average.
And look, we'll even be nice and, you know, make sure that the hot water is turned on in the visitor's dressing room at Tim Hortons Field.
not going to be like 91, is it?
No. Although 91, Winnipeg was an East team, so... Wow.
Yeah, they didn't make it anyway. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Who won 91 again? Oh, yeah, that's right. It was the Argos.
Yep.
When we all could easily wear $1 million man suits. weren't the Argoholics dishing out Monopoly money when they went to Ivor Wynn that season?
Yep.
Yeah. It was a great gimmick. I should have thought of that.
Well, you know, when you
but then again, how old was I when I wasn't that I was still a kid. What do you want?
Let's put it this way. We were young enough that it wasn't something that would have gone through our head to do.
Yes, that's true.
And honestly, we were probably young enough that we fully believed that he was only getting $1 million. I think by the time it was all said and done, the accounting said he made about $6 million per season that he was here.
Hmm.
So, including his personal services contract that took the majority of that so that they could skirt any kind of luxury tax.
Yeah. Yeah, because God forbid we actually... Yeah, because we were... we were bankrolling the league at the time, were we not? I think so.
Like that, yeah.
A lot of people tend to forget that.
All right, what else we got?
That's pretty much all I got this week, other than the fact that I can't wait to see some of the CFL family in Regina, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see... Can't wait to take another Western Stadium off my list.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been in that one. It's been... I've seen it from windows. And I guess the security in there is a little bit better than it was at Taylor Field. Because you literally could not walk in there off the street anymore. The people in the Rider store... told us, yeah, they get the security gets mad at us for letting people in there now. Even if it was February.
Do they still bring livestock into the stadium? I still remember one year in Taylor Field. I can't remember what season it was. But I swear it was like after a rain delay or something. And somebody brought a cow into the stadium. I'm not joking. I thought it was like a cow or a goat or something. I'm watching it on TSN. I'm like, what the hell are they doing?
You know.
But I mean, I thought, okay, I understand. It's like a rural town, but like, God, like that's ridiculous.
You know, Taylor Field. Taylor Field used to have a gate that was open almost 24/7. They had other gates that literally you know were a lock where they just put kind of a hook in there to keep you from opening the fence gate. It wasn't the most secure location ever. It got a little bit better in the last couple of years there where they built those stands in the end zones, but you could, for the most part, you could still pretty much walk onto that field off the street. Because trust me, I did it every time we went by it.
Hmm.
We were even then there one time when they were changing out the turf. They're too busy having lunch to stop us.
Nice. Anyway, yes, let's end this guy.
You enjoy your trip to Regina. And thank enjoy Diego's 15th win.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Where
can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter, X or whatever the hell we call, whatever the hell it's called, in Threads at DougB519. You can find the Double Blue Order. Some of us are traveling to the game this week, and you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just do a search for us. We got a merch store available. Get your pick up. Well, what the hell? Pick up a Simone Sucks Eggs T-shirt. DoubleBlueOrder.ca.
You can find Will at Argo Fans on the social media machines, and you can go to the official Argos message board at ArgoFans.com and talk with some like-minded Double Blue folk. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. Well, that does it for us this week. We'll be back next week when we're talking to you about the 15th win and right on the cusp of setting a new team record. Cheers, everyone. Go Argos.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.